Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Time once again to talk to Jonathan De Burka Butler, is here to bring us some stories from some other parts of the world, the sorts of things we don't necessarily hear about in our own headlines. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
First, we're going to go to Colombia. Oh, God, this is a it's a horrible story in around an issue that's probably fairly horrible anyway, but this is to do with drug mules, but the use of dogs.
Yeah, so this is relates to a Colombian-born individual by the name of Andres Lopez Elorez, who's 38 years of age. And back in 2005, he and his ring of drug traffickers were busted. There was about 24 of them involved, but somehow he managed to escape and he went to Spain. He was arrested there in 2015. He was brought back to the USA, where he was wanted on drug trafficking charges, and his trial started last Tuesday in Brooklyn. Now, he's accused specifically, or the charges against him are for conspiracy, okay? And so he could get between 10 years and life in prison. But what's particularly dark about his part in the drug trafficking is that he's a vet, or he was a vet. And he used puppies. These were puppies that were being commercially sold. They were being flown to New York under the guise of, you know, puppies that are being sold to families, yeah, or whatever, into the puppy market. But they had, in fact, drugs inside their abdomens. And when they arrived in New York, they were picked up, presumably by people at the other end who, you know, weren't particularly caring or nice or whatever, and they were, for want of a better way of putting it, cut open and killed, and the drugs were taken out of them. So it's funny because I don't know. I know he's been convicted of conspiracy charges and that, but I don't know if cruelty to animals is actually part of the charges that are being brought against him.
Yeah.
But I know that the U.S. attorney involved in the prosecution, I guess, said that he betrayed a veterinarian's pledge to prevent animal suffering when he used his surgical skills in a cruel scheme to smuggle heroin in the abdomen of puppies. Now, I don't know if that's just been used against him to make him look bad or whatever.
It does make him look bad,
but it certainly appears that that's something that he did. So it's a shocking story. There is one good side of this,
yeah,
one good part of this, and that is that when the farm that these guys were operating on was raided, they rescued some of the puppies, and one of them was adopted and became a sniffer dog for Colombian police.
So, right, okay. Right, we're going to go to Cuba next. And God, how things have changed so quickly there.
Yeah.
Proposed same-sex marriage legislation.
Yeah, so this is, it's interesting because we know since the time of the revolution that gay rights in Cuba have been not very strong, shall we say. It was actually legalized. Gay sex was actually legalized in 1979, but it is a notoriously homophobic part of the world,
yeah,
and there's been films and books and all sorts of things made out of it. But it's interesting in that they've actually put forward Mariela Castro, who's the 55-year-old daughter of Raúl. And since Raúl has left his post as Cuban leader in mid-April, she's come a little bit to the fore. Now, when he left, Raúl said that they were going to look at the constitution again of Cuba, and they were going to start looking at that next July. And Mariela Castro has come out and said that she is going to make sure that that part of those constitutional reforms will involve same-sex marriage in the country. Now, she's been told to go a little bit slowly by the government and by the Communist Party, and she has told people in the press conferences, you know, that what you need to do is, we've been told that we need to educate people about this before they accept it, but that's what she's aiming for within the next 2 years.
Right, okay. Oh, it's going to take 2 years.
Oh, it will, yeah, at least, because I think what they're going to try and do is they're going to try and bring it in as part of constitutional reform rather than having a referendum, which would be non-existent anyway,
yeah,
to change the whole thing. So it'll be pushed through as part of a package, shall we say.
Okay, right. But there still would still be a certain amount of crusty old geezers who would be the kind of Castro generation, yeah, who would tut this kind of thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it has become certainly more liberal since the 1990s, and it wasn't, it's a certainly not as bad as the enforced labour camps that they had there in the early 60s, which were actually signed off on by Castro. Castro's an interesting relationship with this community, actually, but that's for another day. But it has improved, but it has a bit to go yet.
Yeah, okay, right. We're going to go to Cambodia now, and the Prime Minister's nephew ends up in jail.
Yes, this is a very interesting story. This is the Prime Minister's name is a man by the name of Hun Sen, and he's been Prime Minister since 1985. His older brother, a man by the name of Hun San, has a son by the name of Hun Chea, just to confuse the issue.
Okay.
So Hun Chea is in his 30s. He's a 3-star general in the Cambodian army. But he is a bit of a loose cannon and has been for a long time. So back in 2001, he and his brother were involved in a shooting incident in which two people were injured. He was charged, but then the charges were dropped. He was involved in a hit-and-run incident in 2008 in which a person was killed. Charges again were dropped against him. He didn't go to prison for that, but it seems now that the final straw, this is the straw that's broken the camel's back, and he has been sentenced to prison for 18 months. Now, what he did was, on the 1st of May, he got a little bit drunk and he decided to get into an argument. We think it was a domestic argument of some sort. We don't know the exact details of it. And he managed to fire 10 rounds off into the air. So it was obviously quite dangerous. He was arrested on that day. Charges were brought against him on that day, and he was brought to court and convicted all on the same day. Something that doesn't happen very often in Cambodia. It's notoriously slow.
Yeah.
So one suspects that this was such an embarrassment for the Prime Minister, Hun Sen, that his nephew had gone off on this shooting spree.
Again.
And yeah. It was decided that something would be done about it, and he's in prison for 18 months.
And is he just a wild man, or is there, you know, is there a drug involvement, or is that known?
I think there must, from what I can gather from this, there's an alcohol problem, perhaps.
Yes.
And so part of that 18 months might involve trying to remedy that particular problem.
Okay, right. Togo, we're going to now. And this is to do with Togo and an inquiry that's taking place in France.
Yeah, it's actually a very big story in France. It involves a multi-billionaire man by the name of Vincent Bolloré, who is head of the Bolloré Group, which is ahead of lots of different groups involved with all sorts of things, shipping, media, farming, everything. And an awful lot of what their activity takes place in Africa. And there was an investigation opened at the end of April against this man, Vincent Bolloré, because effectively the prosecutors in France are saying that he, through his media organisation, he gave a discount to two leaders in Africa, namely for Nasingbe in Togo and Alpha Conde in Guinea. I was nearly going to say Gabon, but Guinea. And effectively what he did during their campaigns, not that they really needed it, particularly Nasingbe, he gave them media training and gave them a heavy discount. And when they came into power, his company all of a sudden was given a contract to look after two very important ports in the country.
Okay.
Right? So it looks pretty dodgy. Now, what happened last week is he actually came out himself and he wrote an opinion article in a French weekly newspaper. And in it, it's interesting the attack that he's gone on. He's basically playing the racist card. So he's saying that people imagine heads of state deciding by themselves to award huge contracts to unscrupulous investors. People in France see Africa as a land of misrule and even corruption. Right? So I think he's trying to put it back on the magistrates who are taking the investigation against him.
Yeah.
And say that this is racially motivated. But I don't know.
Okay, he's playing the race card, but doubt if that's going
to
work.
I don't think it's going to work, to be honest with you. It looks a bit dodgy.
Yes, right. Ethiopia we're going to go to now, and there are ethnic tensions there.
Yeah, and there has been for a number of years at this stage, and this is just an example again of what's happening. This was an incident that took place on the border in the south of the country, so it was on the border between Ethiopia and Kenya in a city called Moyale. Now, Moyale is known to have had quite a bit of trouble over the last number of years. There's two ethnic groups there, the Oromo, who are the biggest ethnic group and who we've mentioned before in Ethiopia, and then a kind of a Somali group known as the Gare. Now, we don't really know the exact incident that happened, but we do know that there were clashes and about 5,000 people have had to go over the border into the Kenyan side of the city as a result. Now, there was more clashes back in early March, I think it was, when anti-government forces, when government forces went in to try and clean out anti-government forces in the same town. A soldier kind of lost the plot and ended up killing 9 civilians in the area. So lots of tension, and into that there is more ethnic tension, and it appears to be ramping up in various different pockets throughout the country.
Yeah, now presumably there's a wider picture here rather than specific incidents.
Well, it is. I mean, overall, what you've got is about over 80 different ethnic groups, okay, within the country. And I mean, the ruling party there itself is actually a front of 4 different parties which represent 4 different ethnic groups.
Yes.
So there's all of this tension going on, and you know, there's lots of different reasons for it. Like, I mean, in this case, the Oromo and the Somali have always been at each other because of the different ways in which they farm, okay? And
okay,
they basically have claims to each other's land and all that.
It's human
kind of
nature, land.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. But I mean, it does go down to that basic idea, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been there for a very, very long time, and it's a classic hangover of
colonialism.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Right, Pakistan. We're going to go to now and another story involving violence. The Pakistani Interior Minister has been shot.
Yeah, so this is worrying because there are elections coming up later this year. I think it's in July they're going to happen. So this is the Pakistani Interior Minister, a man by the name of Ashan Iqbal. Now, he's shot and wounded, shot in the shoulder, after he had given a speech at an election rally. He was sitting in his car, and a 21-year-old man has been arrested. Was arrested at the scene, and he's accused of shooting the interior minister. Now, when I looked at this, I was nearly going to bin it, to be honest, as a story, because I was like, okay, these things happen. But then it became apparent that this particular young man was is probably a member of a hardline group called Tehrik-e-Labiak. And they've been featured on this slot before, because these are the guys who sort of shut down Islamabad late last year after protests, because there was a move to take part of the oath, electoral oath, which pertained to the Prophet Muhammad. The government wanted to remove it to allow other sects to be involved in politics, and they protested against it and managed to get it reversed. So they're not electorally they're not a very powerful bunch. Okay, the last elections, I think they only managed to get something like 6% of the vote, but they look like they will get more the next time around, and they are beginning to become more vocal and more influential.
Right. Okay.
So the fact that this young man goes and tries to assassinate an interior minister, appears that they're, you know, he took it upon himself to take it to the next level.
Yeah, this sounds like ballot box in one hand and Armalite in the other.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah,
really. Right, now this is, I assume this is a fairly complicated story. It involves Slovakia and a Vietnamese kidnapping.
So last January, a Vietnamese former businessman who was involved in a government contract, okay, and was accused of mismanaging that government contract in Vietnam, he was sentenced. He was given 2 life sentences in a Vietnamese court last January. Now, the problem with that was that he had been in Germany in July of 2017, okay?
Okay.
And he then disappeared and turned up in Vietnam in January. So for about 6 months, nobody knew where he was. German authorities had kind of accepted the fact that he was seeking asylum within Germany, and he was kidnapped in a Berlin park, okay? And it was thought that it was done by Vietnamese spies, or whatever you want to call it. Now, around about the same time, there was a Vietnamese delegation meeting with a Slovakian delegation in Bratislava. All right. The Slovakian delegation, or the Slovakian government, lent an aeroplane to the Vietnamese delegation to fly them from Bratislava to Moscow when their itinerary changed unexpectedly. Now, all of this is being investigated by a German newspaper who have since found that 3 days after the abduction, or alleged abduction, in this Berlin park in July, that the car that's alleged to have been used in that abduction was parked outside the hotel where the Slovakians and the Vietnamese were meeting each other.
What a bizarre coincidence.
Now, this was put to Slovakia's prime minister on Wednesday, who said that they know nothing about it and there was no record of any bedbound patient or anyone restrained or handcuffed being on board that plane.
Okay, that's a remarkably detailed
denial. Exactly what I thought.
Why would Slovakia do a favour like this for Vietnam?
That is a great question.
Just give them a grant.
Absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Right, finally we're going to go to Turkey, where there's a city for sale.
Yes, a very small city. It's about 133 hectares in size. It's not very densely populated, but it is, I think, classed as a sort of a class one or a grade one heritage site within Turkey. But the problem is that, and what it's famous for is for its antiquities. Okay, So it was an old Greek city and then an old Roman city and the usual thing. So there's lots of nice things there which are being stolen by people who are going in and looking to sell these antiquities on. So the people who own the city, I believe it's privately owned, are looking to try and sell it because they can't look after it on their own, right? Yeah. They did put it up for sale back in 2015, but nobody took them up on the offer. And now they've slashed the price by about 1.5 million euro in the hope that somebody will come in and buy the place and then look after it. Now, they're strongly hinting that they hope the Turkish government will come in and look after it as it is part of their heritage, but it remains to be seen.
So they've taken 1.something million off it. How much are they looking for?
They are currently looking for about 6 million, I think, is the price tag. 6 million pounds is what they're looking for.
Okay, but it doesn't come with planning permission or a convertible attic or anything like that.
No, but you do get a monastery, an acropolis, fortified walls and a theatre as well. So
very
it's
nice.
Quite nice.
That is nice, but there's probably not much you can't build on it.
No, probably not.
Right, so what'll be happening over the next week or so, Jonathan?
So, coming up during the week, on Wednesday, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is going to meet with South Korea's President, President Moon, and Chinese Premier, not President, Lee Keqiang. So they're going to hold a summit. No doubt they'll be talking a little bit about North Korea and goings on over certain islands in the area. Malaysia, there are House of Representative elections, and I believe there's a 92-year-old candidate running in that, actually, who we might talk more about next week. And then on Saturday, it's a global event, is International Nurses Day. So
International
nurses, give them a...
Okay, well,
handshake or whatever.
Your nurses are fantastic. Jonathan, Absolutely. Thanks a million for coming into us today.
Sure.
I'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.